this works. There we go. And if I remember which switch this is, there we go. Hopefully you can see that better. We're going to be reading Philippians 4, 4 through 7, setting the stage for the second part of peace. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And so as we think of the second, this morning, let me try this again. For some reason, this is not responding like it's supposed to. There we go. Yours looked right, mine did not. So we move into the second part. We talked about our connectedness to Christ as the true vine, and the second part of this paragraph that describes our weekend together is no longer consumed by fear and anxiety, we learn to maintain peace in our heart and mind. And that's the second focus as we look at the second part of peace in our heart and mind. I'm going to start this morning a little differently. I'm going to start with a testimony of my own life, as this topic has greatly impacted me. And so, again, those of you that were not here last night, my name is John Castle. My wife, Carrie, is with me, and three of our four children. The other son, Ethan, is doing better, praise God. Still, the fever's not gone, so he's hanging out with Grandpa and Grandma back at the cabin that was graciously provided for us while we're here. So my story, growing up as a child, I was kind of that perfectionist child. I cared a lot of what people thought of me. And high energy. I remember fifth grade, I journaled in fifth grade, we had to do that. Lord, help me not to talk so much. I was, in my story, probably my nervous energy and anxiety showed up in a lot of talking. As I reflect through middle school and elementary school, those were good years, also some hard times. As I entered into high school, I was a believer at that point in the journey, had accepted Christ. And I remember early on in my ninth grade year, very early, first probably week, I had said to some of my friends, you know, about one of my other students in my class passing on gossip, and I was really convicted by it. I went back to them the next day and said, hey, I shouldn't have said that about my classmate. But that shame, that guilt just penetrated and clung and stuck to my heart. And high school became, that was one of the stories in that, but I began to deal with fear and anxiety like I had not before. And to the point where life became rather dark and I wasn't sure how I was going to make it through day by day. And I really did begin to believe in that, in my story, that my life was going to have no value. One of my particular fears was being in front of people. And I remember having to lead singing. That was a requirement in our freshman year in front of the chapel. And that was terrifying, made me sick. And that fear just held me back. I couldn't be in things like gospel team or traveling. Any of that stuff away from home terrified me, and I just conveniently found ways not to do it. And I thought that would be the story of my life, bound in fear and anxiety. And it is embarrassing. I hit it well, too well, unfortunately. I remember asking my administrator, Mr. Reed, many years later, as I had told my story, could you tell anything? He's like, no, I couldn't really tell. I was sort of a popular student, vice president of my class, but inside, I was really struggling. In that journey with fear and anxiety, I prayed for deliverance. And any of you that have struggled with sin of any nature have probably prayed that prayer. Lord, deliver me from this vice or that vice or this fear or that anxiety or this generational thing in my life. And sometimes God miraculously delivers. You know, I've had I've talked to people that struggled with alcohol, and they prayed, and they never desired it again. And the next one, one of our deacons, an older man now, did not grow up knowing the Lord, and he had to battle through alcoholism to get deliverance. And so we pray, we ask God for deliverance, but sometimes God says that my strength is sufficient, and I'm going to let you battle by battle win the ground back so that you learn to trust me. And that was my story through a slow victory. As I look at those years, sometimes in our stories, that was many years, probably age 15 through early marriage, 22, 23, that God allowed me to slowly find peace. And in my story, one of the beautiful things was God was teaching me to fully rely on him. And as I look back, that is by far the most valuable lesson I heard, learned, that God became my closest friend. And without his strength, I couldn't make it even through the day. And so as we think about the fruit of the Spirit, peace, it is something that is worth fighting for. To come to the place where fear and anxiety no longer grip our hearts. And if you desire the fruit of peace in your heart and mind, but doubt it will ever come, think again. That desire inside of us is from God himself. When we think about love and joy and peace, these gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that is the way we were meant to live. And so, if we want to get to Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding, guarding our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, if we want to get to verse 7, where full peace is known, we need to back up to the beginning and walk through this passage and say, what is it that God is showing us? If we desire that at the end goal, how do we get there? And that's what we're going to spend our times together doing. Irma Bombeck, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but never gets you anywhere. And if you can picture that old person, doesn't have to be an older person, but that's often the image we have in our mind, just rocking back and forth. You're not getting anywhere. You can start, you can do it for an hour, and when you're done, you might have moved a quarter of an inch, but you haven't gotten anywhere. There you are, back and forth. And that's the games that worry plays in our mind. It gives us something to do, but you're not getting anywhere, and you get stuck in that cycle. And so we begin with, we need a new image in our minds of what it's like. And so today we're going to be looking at peace in our heart and our mind. You know, we desire peace in all of our lives and our relationships, and we're going to talk about relationships tonight. But at the heart of this is understanding that Jesus is the source. We looked at that last evening. And then today, this morning, getting that peace into our heart and our mind. Hopefully, as you reflected on last evening's, if you were not here, I should just explain the packet. First page, front and back, was last night, and then we're putting in page 3 of 7 in your packets as we think about peace in our heart and mind. So the first thing, point number one, is rejoice in the Lord always. When you look at the term rejoice in the Lord always, it might strike you odd that we begin there. If we're looking for peace, can't we just skip ahead? Can't we just get there? But the journey that God is asking us to go down is to start with rejoicing. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And the word always caught my attention. As you think about it, we're talking about fruit this weekend. If you always want good fruit, then you always need to do proper cultivation and care for the branch. And if you want that good fruit, you're not going to be lazy to get the fruit that you desire. And so, if you want the fruit of peace in your life, God says, start with rejoicing. How do we always rejoice? Well, we know from life experience that if our focus is on ourselves, you're not going to be able to always to rejoice. You can't see what's going on. You have all these feelings and emotions going on and all these situations around you. But it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And so our rejoicing is always in the Lord. And it's critical. If you always want good fruit to follow, then you always need to do the proper cultivation and care for the branch. And so in that vein, or in that line of thought, we're going to look at this first point together. One of the many favorite verses, especially if you've struggled with fear and anxiety, you've probably had to claim specific promises, and that's part of my story. And one of those is out of Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." Interesting, as you look at the context of those verses in Isaiah, and why don't we go ahead and turn to that. As we look at Isaiah, for him to say that, it was in some sort of something going on. In Isaiah 26, begins, and I'll look at verse 1. So we know verse 3, and this is the fascinating thing. You have these favorite verses, John 3:16. Do you know what verse 15 and 17 say? And sometimes do that. Like, go look at it in the context of what is going on in those verses. And Isaiah 26, 1, it says, "In that day shall the song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks." And so from a construction perspective, you're thinking about these massive walls and the bulwarks, which were the supporting structures that hold everything together and hold up the inner building. And so we see that salvation is at the core of this beautiful thing that is taking place. And verse 2, "Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in." And so we see then the gates which are righteousness. So we see this building being explained of what is going on. And then that brings us to verse 3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." And verse 4 then, the one that follows, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." And so you take that verse, that favorite verse of perfect peace, and you expand it a little bit to see what Isaiah is seeing and understanding. And we see this idea of salvation. And when we think about who these people are, the Jews, salvation is really significant in their story. You think about Exodus in particular, the Exodus out of Egypt. It's interesting to think about salvation as they thought about it. Genesis 14:13. Maybe this is one of the specific occasions Isaiah is thinking of God's faithfulness. Genesis 14:13, "And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall work for you today." I'm sorry, I think that's Exodus actually. I have the reference in there wrong. "For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again." The word salvation is right in there. Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord. When you think about what was about to take place, Moses is talking about the salvation in a future tense. So the salvation had not yet come. He said, stand back, it's about to take place. And the salvation, literally, that was about to take place was God stopping water, drying out the ground, and then passing through a million people, plus or minus. So the salvation was something very something real. It was tangible. And so when we think about this idea of rejoicing in the Lord, you need to begin to get a picture ahead of where you are right now. Salvation is about to take place. Salvation is about to happen. And we know so because God has always done it. And it may not be what we expect, but that's okay. We trust him that what he is about to do is the best thing that can happen. And so we begin to base our rejoicing on the very character of God. And so whatever you're facing, whatever the fear, whatever the anxiety, you can begin to rejoice because God has done it before. He will do it again. He is predictable. And you can begin to rejoice because salvation will take place. And in that confidence, you begin this journey towards peace. So keep that in mind. Isaiah 26:3. It's a good verse to memorize, but keep the context with it. And in Genesis, when we think about salvation, we must choose to rejoice in the Lord and think about a salvation even before we know how the story we are in the middle of will end. Zach Williams' song, No Longer Slaves, and if you know Zach Williams' stories at all, it's fascinating as he has struggled through addiction and various things. But he writes in the song, "You split the sea so I could walk right through it. All my fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. Now I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God." No matter the mountain that is trying to steal your peace, whether it's spiritual or physical or relational or financial or emotional, or there's all kinds of other owls I'm probably forgetting, but whatever that is, God will continue to move. So if you desire this, the fruit of peace this morning, start with rejoicing. Choose to sing about God. He is the God who sings. He is the God who saves. Take that focus off of yourself and the situation and choose to rejoice in the Lord always. The second, respond with kindness to everyone. Remember that the Lord is near. Verse 5, it says, "Let your moderation," or other translations, or in the Greek, other synonyms would be gentle, kind, or tolerate. So let that be known to all men, and the Lord is at hand. As you think about this verse and its context as we lead towards peace, it might kind of confuse you. Like, where are we going with this? How does kindness, but every day, you will encounter people and they will encounter you. If you live your life the way God desires, that you view each person that God puts in your journey as created in the image of God, and you also being created in the image of God, if you treat people in that way, at the end of each day, you don't have all of that emotional turmoil of not treating God's children correctly. And in our journey towards peace, God really cares about how we treat one another. So much of the things that rip our hearts apart are because people are not treating each other as created in the image of God. And I was challenged by a recent speaker that unless we get that and begin to see those around us in that light, we can't do what God asks us to do. So this is really important. This is right in God's word as we step through our text together this morning. Philippians 4:5. One of the verses that took me years to actually understand, and I'm probably only beginning to understand how powerful it is. But 1 John 4:18 reads, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." In love. And we know that towards God, God is love, but he asks us to treat those around us like this. And so in my journey with fear, as I began to realize that I fear to view people and choose to love them like God loves me and like God loves them, there's no place for fear in that anymore. Love is more powerful than fear. And so you think about, how does that work? Well, let's look at Jesus Christ. For the joy So he had this vision, and we know in John 3:16 that he loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. This is God, and God the Son coming through his love. The love and the joy that was set before him is what kept Jesus on mission, on point, on plan. In the second point, when we begin to love others, when we begin to live in this way, the fear then through the eyes that God has given us to look at each other with. It's the eyes that he looked into our hearts when he walked on earth, his creation. But peace in how you act. And we'll talk more about peace in relationships with each other. But to have this peace in our hearts and our minds, this is a critical step. If you desire that, how you treat others matters. We read 1 John 4:18. I'm going to read it again, though. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because love. Three times in that verse, the word love is mentioned as we think about combating fear. Thirdly, refuse to be anxious about anything. And this is the first part of Philippians 4:6. ESV translates this, do not be anxious about anything. KJV, be careful for nothing. You put those two ideas together. And I put on your papers, one, always anxious. Like anything comes on your path and anxious, just stacks, just adds to your anxiety. Or 10, that you never remain anxious. We need to talk a little bit about anxiety at this point. Anxiety is that it is a feeling, to be clear. And let me just read what I've written. Anxiety is an emotion. So it is not that you will not feel it. You will, but you will not live in it. Feel afraid, but you must not live in fear. One of the resources that was really helpful as I studied was a book entitled Anxious for Nothing by Max Lucado. It's another way to live. If you knew fear and anxiety as your operative, your way of living, and you begin to live another way, we really don't have a choice, though, from God's word. And that's why I wanted to look at this alone. God literally says through the writer, do not be anxious about anything. And so we have this I will statement. Where I failed in my journey is then to lean on the Holy Spirit afterwards. But you have to make a decision. It's not an abnormal thing. But when that grips our hearts, it becomes sin in our lives because it's blocking out God's. God has given you, I will not be anxious. I will not be afraid. 2 and of love and of a sound mind. Again, please understand the differentiation. Anxiety or being anxious. I feel anxious. I feel afraid. And in that moment, 2 Timothy 1:7 is an amazing verse to bring to our mind. God one that encompasses us, just like we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, peace that encompasses us. Claim that promise. Satan, get lost. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Towards the 10, day by day. And maybe you are at 1 now, but that scale. And if you think, oh, that doesn't seem possible, well, just in a lot, there's a lot to take back. And battle by battle by battle. Think, oh, we're going to go win the war today. No, go win the battle today. And in time, the war will be won. The second part, and this is critical, Philippians 4. So we look at the second part of that. This is where we begin to reverse the cycle. And I've said to different people, when you think about any habits or thought patterns that are negative, they spiral down. And again, the beautiful thing about a spiral is that it works in reverse. Take that the opposite direction and reverse it. And that's how we do it, through prayer and thanksgiving. So we refuse to be anxious. First part, closely connected to the second, to replace anxiety with prayer and thanksgiving. Rejecting the thoughts that bound you once in a knot are now being replaced by prayer and thanksgiving. Through the Holy Spirit's power, we will learn to walk in this way, because God can be trusted. And it's important to claim those victories as they happen and remember them. Say, Lord, you did this back here. I'm trusting you to do it again in my life. One of the ones that we often look at, well, let's just say it this way, a favorite verse in the journey is Psalms 34, 4 and 6. This is one I claimed through my journey. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Okay? I need to give you a little context for Psalms 34. Let's turn there. We think of heroic David, and he certainly had that in his life. But if your Bible has little headers at the top, it'll probably read something like this. Psalms 34 says, a psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. This was not one of David's amazing moments. This is where he acted mad, crazy. Droll going down his beard, and the guy looked like he just went ballistic. And Abimelech's like, what'd you bring this crazy guy here for? Send him out of here. And he gets kicked out of the king. And so this is the context of Psalms 34. Verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And then verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. God was there for David. When you look at his life, he's a fascinating. I'm so glad that God chose in his wisdom to record all the many varied stories from David's life. He understood In verse 6, I believe it is, it says, this poor man cried. And in verse 4, I sought the Lord. We see David actively pursuing, going after God. And it's sort of fun to think about. His life was also being pursued actively. His father-in-law was trying to kill him. At every turn. You might have bad relations in your family, but I doubt that your father-in-law is looking to kill you at every turn. This is the life that David lived. And he began to, out of this, seek the Lord with the same, even greater passion that his life was being chased after. He chased after the Lord and cried out. David replaced his anxiety with prayer in that crying out. And in my journey, and I'm sure that many can attest to this, cry out to the Lord. Do it verbally. Do it out loud. It's not this whimper prayer. No, this is crying out to the Lord, and all of heaven hears it. There's something really powerful when we do it God's way. And verse 5, did not read yet. It says, they looked, and this is Psalms 34, they looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. I suspect in your journey, especially as you learn to pursue God, you have these moments where God allows you to interact with someone whose face glows. And in those moments, you realize there is a peace in this person that I desire. This is what David is talking about. When someone, even in the midst of severe trials, cries out to the Lord, and I'm sure there's tears and there's weeping and all that goes with it, and struggling with the Lord. And we saw it last night as we talked about Jesus in the garden. But on the other side, there is a glow and there is a peace that is fully Spirit-given. That's the fruit of peace, where you're fully at rest. And to think about David in the middle of this chaos, writing that's what happens. Verse 7, Psalms 34, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. It's a beautiful psalm. You keep reading sometime the whole way through. You're replacing that anxiety with prayer and thanksgiving. God moved. He saved David out of his trouble. And I want you to understand in Psalms 34 what that actually means. He saved him out of his troubles. If you look at the rest of David's life, there was nothing but trouble, but God did what he said. He saved him out of the trouble. And so it doesn't mean that God will remove trouble from you. He will save you out of it. You will be able to respond in ways to the chaos around you that is peaceful. This side of eternity, you will not know peace like we will in eternity, but you can know peace in your heart. Pray about everything. Mary Ann Kidder wrote the words of the song, "Oh, how prayer rests the weary. Prayer will change the night to day. So when life gets dark and dreary, don't forget to pray." She wrote that 2 centuries ago, nearly in 1876. We need that today. Prayer does rest the weary, and prayer really can change the night today. The picture of the dark into dawn. Even in the middle of really difficult times, when that dawn comes, how beautiful it is. You know that God is still on the throne. If he can organize creation that responds at his will, he can take your and my little troubles and do with it as he will. We could spend a lot of time on this point about peaceful hearts and minds, and yet in some ways it's possibly one of the simplest truth of God's word. We do it moment by moment, learning to do it his way. And I want you to understand the power of anxious thoughts
And some of this is from Mayo Clinic. Anxious thoughts can have bodily impact. Insomnia, digestive issues, headaches, irritability, increased heart rate, sweating, trembling,
feeling weak and tired, and more.
Anxiety is a really, really powerful emotion. And so the temptation is to go to the doc and say, hey, you know, what can we do for this?
One of the members of our church is an ER doctor, and he
worked during COVID, and they were giving out all kinds of prescription for all the fear and anxiety that was going on, and that has continued. And Christians, sometimes we're tempted to just look for the Band-Aids as well. But I'd like to suggest,
and it's written in your notes,
that we don't need to cope with fear and anxiety. We can actually experience a cure. And so in the same power that it can cripple us, and if you've walked this journey with fear and anxiety, you understand how your heart rate gets up and you feel like you're getting sick. God has a way to deal with this. Do it God's way. Learn to pray specifically
for each concern.
Because our minds are so complex, they're
always thinking about something. What's up next
or what just happened? There's lots going on. The second is learn to meditate specifically
on a related scripture. So what are you facing?
Maybe it's death, it's grief. Do you have some verses hung up somewhere or memorized? Are you thinking about something specific to the struggle that's causing you concern? Maybe you're not sleeping well. And the third is learn to sing even in difficult times. I want to dig into this a little bit more.
The first, learning to cast every care
on God, one by one. You know, this is actually
a painful process.
One of the things we as humans fear is quiet. And there was a group of pastors, it's a few years ago now, that said, what did we wish churches that our
congregants would know?
This was out in the Lancaster area, I believe. And they said, I think we need to learn
what it means to be quiet.
It's really interesting. As you look
at the New Testament, even in
singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord,
we love
distractions. We love other people worshiping and we'll just listen in. We love
passive
healing. The point is
that you need to be
singing and praising God. You need to be praying.
You're not hanging on other
people doing it. This is your calling. This is for you. And so as
you allow yourself to enter into this
place of quiet and your heart is racing, your mind is racing, pray prayer
by prayer for what's
going on. And I just, as I was studying, I decided to just kind of demonstrate what this might look like. And this is just, these are just random examples. God, take my concern about my doctor appointment on Tuesday. God, bring me peace about a child who is doing their own thing. God, please restore love to my relationship with my spouse that I feel growing cold. Lord, take my bitterness that haunts me, my waking moments
from an offense that my father
said long ago. Lord, I am anxious about the rising cost of food and my wage not keeping up. Lord, I know you know I desire picnic sunshine for a picnic on Saturday. And that's one person that you just, your mind, as you begin to quiet it down, you think of this and that and this relationship and that, all these things. And you just go back
through.
Lord, you know about my doctor appointment on Tuesday. You're already there. You know the future like you do the past.
And I can rest in your sovereignty.
God, please restore love to my relationship with my spouse feeling cold. God, I know you love marriage. It's important to you. It illustrates to the world the relationship between
Christ and your church. Please take
my marriage and make it what it could be. Lord, take the bitterness that haunts my waking moments and the offense.
God, I choose to forgive
again. You know I've done this before, but I need to do it again. I lay this offense down
at your feet. Lord, you know
I desire sunshine for the picnic on Sunday. God, I don't know what your perfect will is.
Maybe there's another plan, but I am going to trust
that if you could say, peace be still, you could take care of the sun on for the picnic, if you will. And you learn to take every one of those thoughts, whatever they are, thought
by thought, turn it into a prayer.
And that anxious, racing heart will slowly find peace. And you don't go looking for trouble. You just let God, actually sometimes I think it's Satan that reminds you of all these things, and you turn it around to God's glory, and you find rest and peace.
In my journey, in particular,
at night is always one of the greater times. You're trying to rest, you're trying to sleep.
It is amazing. If you have trouble sleeping,
if you can turn all those anxious, racing thoughts into prayers, it's amazing how quickly Satan lets you sleep,
or God, or
however that works. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but you can rest. And learning specifically to meditate on a scripture, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. That was one that I claim. And others,
sometimes it's just a phrase, Lord, thank you for the victory.
And that comes out of Romans. Romans 6 through 8.
Really powerful
scriptures to reprogram our minds.
And
start thinking in a new way. If you don't know where to start,
just continue to
keep this picture in your mind of the sea and all of those high waves. And learn to wave by wave address it. And out of that is where the tranquil sea comes from. The gentle waves of peace follow, and you can take it to a place. Songs that can also help in this journey, learn to sing.
It is okay to listen as well,
but begin to sing along. And I have some modern hymns
and classics as well.
And I'm sure you can think of more. I was listening this morning as we were singing songs, and I noticed peace in some of those as well. But Horatio Spafford, many of you know his story. When peace like a river attendeth my way. And that's out of great hardship of his wife and the only survivor and his children being killed at sea. Leaning on the
Everlasting Arms by
Elisha Hoffman. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Or Francis
Ridley Havergal, Like a River
Glorious, is God's perfect peace in the picture of that tranquil waters. Or Zach Williams, I mentioned before,
no longer a slave to fear.
I am a child of God. Or peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Or Chris Tomlin's song, Whom Shall I Fear? The God of
Angel Armies.
And we see that picture referring back to, we studied before when Elisha prayed, open the eyes of my servant.
Let him see
what I see. The God of Angel Armies is always by my side.
Or Don Moen's Instruments of Peace.
Lord, make us instruments of our peace. And that's the taking it out into the world around us.
And there's so many more.
And I have lines on your paper at the end of this. Write down your own.
What songs
have become special to you? I can write down some of these if they're meaningful or are ones that
God brings along the line.
Scripture and song are very powerful in this journey. Fifth and final, enjoy Christ's reward of inexpressible peace. And you may have thought that we were going to start there, but this is where we end. Because the peace, like we mentioned last night,
is the fruit,
it is the reward, it is what comes.
And the peace of
God, which passeth or surpasses all understanding,
will keep or it will
guard your hearts and your minds through, and in the original Greek and other translations use in,
I kind of like the two together,
both through and in Christ Jesus. Tranquility, Peace does come to keep
and guide and guard
your minds and hearts through Christ Jesus. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee or on thee, because he trusteth in thee. It is the result of staying or keeping or abiding in God. It's an incredible reward. It's not something that you can buy.
It's something that only God gives.
And interesting and arguably, next to love and joy,
peace
is an important third as he lists the fruit of the spirits for us. And they do go together. Don't settle for a cheap counterfeit or something artificial.
God
loves providing the unadulterated, perfect fruit
that looks beautiful
on the outside and is just as good solidly through the core of that fruit. Peace will bring you a new perspective.
Psalms 119:165.
Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing can make them stumble. There's a connection we talked about last night between peace and righteousness. Your family will see a new expression on your face. And husbands, your job is to seek peace. Wives, your job is to seek peace. You, single people, your job is to seek peace.
Children as well.
Each of us have a calling and a responsibility individually
to know this God
who provides this incredible peace. Each of us have different stories, different experiences, different stuff
to sort through.
And will have different stuff to sort through as life continues. Each of us individually have to know this Father God intimately. Enjoy Christ's reward of
inexpressible peace.
Bask in the peace that will come
and does come
as we learn to live this way. And so that brings us to the conclusion as we step through. And this is not once and done. You're going to get to this peace and something's going to disturb it and you're going to need to go back to this cycle.
Remember, you can reverse these things
to come back to a place. Start with rejoicing. No matter your situation, rejoice
in the Lord always.
Think about his salvation even before we know how the story is going to end. Secondly, respond to everyone in kindness. The Lord is near. Remember that those people
around you, maybe the ones
that are even causing you fear and anxiety, are created in the image of God. Treat them as such, and you will see them in new ways. Refuse to be anxious about anything. God has given us a spirit of power
and of love and of a sound mind.
And he will honor this request when we make a decision with this will, our will, that says, I will not remain afraid. I will not remain anxious. And then closely followed by 4, replace anxiety with prayer and thanksgiving. Our heart and our mind should be filled with thanksgiving and prayer that the weeds of anxiety and fear have no place to take root. We must bring
each of our cares one by one,
and his peace will wash over us. And 5th and finally, in review,
enjoy
Christ's reward of inexpressible peace. Peace is a reward, a fruit
that
passes understanding. And others will know and be able to tell on your face and in your homes and in your communities that we'll look at this evening
more specifically,
that peace has come. Let's close in prayer. Father God, as we come to the end of session 2, we thank you for this peace that can be known in our hearts and minds. We thank you that you are a patient Father. And I pray for those sitting here this morning who have only known anxiety and fear in their lives. I pray that what you have done in my life would be a testimony. And I know there's
others here that have walked
this journey and are on this journey. God, I pray that together we would learn to walk in freedom
that peace brings.
I pray that we would commit together to calm our racing minds, to allow quietness into our lives where we face those things that are taking our peace, that we can walk in the freedom that you desire. Bring us tranquility and bring us that peace that passes all understanding. Continue to go with us through the rest of the session this evening, and each of us today, may we find rest on this Lord's Day and be strengthened for the week ahead. Is our prayer in the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our coming King, our best friend, and the Prince of Peace, we pray. Amen.